Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada and 31 Thoughts joins us on the telephone. Well, you know, I asked Brunt the same question I guess everybody is asking at this point is there any reason for you to believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs can figure this thing out? Can they get back in this series?
There's always reason to believe, but I would say this. Of all the series that are 2-0 right now, it has probably been the most lopsided.
No, for sure it is.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have said that. Like, if you would have told me that Tampa would be up on 2-0 on New Jersey, I would have thought that one might have been more lopsided. Like, even Vegas, which is up 3-0 on the Kings, hasn't been as lopsided as this.
All one-goal games, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, we're all talking here today about Plekanec and the fact that he's been moved up to the second line, and that's sort of like today's lightning rod. But the bottom line, guys, is if their best players don't start making an impact on this series, it's not going to matter where Thomas Plekanec is slotted in this lineup.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Elliot, you know, look, I know you've talked to death about this on and off the air the last few days, but what do you think we saw? What was that we were watching in the first two games? Was it a team that wasn't ready? Was it a team that wasn't good enough? Is it a team that's shell-shocked a little bit? What was playing out before our eyes in those first two games?
I think what we saw was a team that either wasn't ready or wasn't good enough that got shell-shocked, Steve.
Okay, all of the above,
to combine all your answers. Like that team on Saturday night was... Like, the one thing we haven't seen from this incarnation of the Maple Leafs since Matthews was drafted and the Matthews-Nylander-Marner group showed up was them looking as defeated as that. You know, we haven't heard Matthews react like that after a loss with bleep happens. Like, we are seeing this group go through their first real bit of holy cow, we are getting our butts kicked and we don't have an answer. And that to me is the, like, you know, they might not win this series, but what they need to show is they can at least claw their way back into it.
For the first time,
they're really not reaching a challenge so far.
I'm not going down doing this for kind of knee-jerk reasons, but just that does kind of beg the question, what's the coach's role in a situation like this? Because when we think of what coaches do, you know, they try matchups and tactics and all of that stuff. But, you know, we also think about the kind of emotional side. And so you've got the best coach in the world, in theory, coaching this team. What does he do? What's his job going into game three?
Well, I think one of the things he has to do is, the last game, the 3-1 goal in game one is the one that got everybody's attention. Because he took Matthews off the ice for 18 seconds. After 18 seconds of a shift, he put Plekanec on and they scored. The number one line scored against him to make it 3-1. I think what he's got to do is, for better or for worse, he's got to let Matthews go against these guys. Like Austin, as long as the playoff situation is the way it's going to be in this division for the next couple of years, at some point in time, Austin Matthews is going to have to figure out Patrice Bergeron. So I'm just throwing him out there against him. I wouldn't even worry about the matchup now. If I'm losing this series, I'm losing it with Austin Matthews playing as much as he can. I'm losing it with Mitch Marner playing as much as he can. I mean, I don't even know the defense. I think we're learning that on defense, that might be a personnel thing as much as anything else. But I'm taking my best players, and I am saying, you guys are playing until you drop, and you have to figure out how to handle their best players. Now, I do think we should bring up the Kadri thing. That is a huge loss. Mm-hmm. That has thrown their lineup into disarray, because he would be battling a lot of these guys. But right now, if I was Babcock, I'd be rotting my best players and saying, you guys are going to be playing a lot tonight.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I admit you don't want your number two center out of the lineup, but, by the same token, Kadri was a train wreck in game one. He got them.
Yes,
he was in the penalty box. He did nothing positive and only negative, like most of the team, to be honest, in fairness. I'm not sure he's a difference maker. I think this comes down to defense and goaltending. And whether you when I say defense, I suppose I also mean Elliot, your forwards coming back and doing their job. And truthfully, Anderson didn't make saves that you need him to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only costs you goals, it takes the wind out of the sails that, whatever momentum you might build. I think this is a mountain too high for this team to climb.
That's why, Bob, I look at this with a long view, okay? I agree with you. I mean, look, none of us are being geniuses here saying that.
Of course.
It's going to take an enormous comeback to win this series. I think we all understand that. So I'm looking at it from a longer point of view than that. Who on this team right now is going to be there when you're going to win? You're hoping it's Matthews. You're hoping it's Nylander. You're hoping it's Marner. You're hoping it's Kapanen. You're hoping it's Connor Brown. You're hoping it's Hyman. You're hoping it's Riley. You're hoping it's Zaitsev, who's had a nightmare of a year and is having a nightmare of a series. And Anderson's your backbone. I'm pulling all those guys in, and I'm saying, guys, this is not only about this series. This is about the team you're going to be facing in the playoffs for the next 5 years. You got to go out there and you got to figure out how to beat them or at least match them. Because, you're right, Bob. The goaltending hasn't been good. The defense hasn't been good. But it's not like the forwards have been fantastic either.
No, that's the point.
So I'm going to my core guys and saying, guys, it's your time to figure it out.
Now, Elliot, you mentioned defensively there. We may be just talking about a personnel issue that they may not be good enough. They got a lot of miles out of Ron Hainsey this year. I think maybe, Ron Hainsey's what he is. They resisted making a move at the deadline. Now there wasn't anybody there. I don't think it would have. There wasn't like a number one there, but there were some guys.
Yeah.
So does if we are witnessing the beginning of the end of this season,
mm-hmm.
what do they? If that's a personnel issue, do they have to go out and find those guys? That guy's not there, right? That's not something you can just go out and grab.
It's harder. I mean, they were in on McDonough.
Yeah.
Like there's no question about that. They were in on McDonough, who went from the Rangers to Tampa, but they were not willing to pay the price that the Rangers asked of them. And I think it was high. There's no question about that. It would have been a high price. And they decided not to go that way. The other guy, I think they had their claws in for a while, but for whatever reason didn't pull the trigger, and I'm not 100% sure what happened there, is Vatanen, who went from Anaheim to New Jersey and is in the playoffs there. That's a guy they had their eyes on for a while and just didn't pull the trigger. I think the one thing that happens, Steven, is that you go to the playoffs, either teams don't make it or teams get knocked out early, and they say, we've got to change our way up somehow. There's always somebody who shakes loose. Now, whether or not you look at Calgary, they missed the playoffs this year. What's one of their biggest strengths? Mm-hmm. It's defense, and their best prospects are defense. Are you calling the Calgary Flames and saying, do we have a match? I think that's a possibility. And you know what? I do think, I don't know how far it got. I don't know if Ottawa would do it. But I do think the Leafs were in on the Carlson. And, I wonder, I'm saying this purely as an interested media person because I think it would be a great story. Would they ever go to Ottawa and pay a king's ransom for a year of the guy? I don't know.
Well, see, the dilemma that I face with that, I don't want to get into this, speculating on what's going to happen during the offseason is fool's gold, but... the dilemma I have is I'm not sure that the Maple Leafs don't need two, maybe three defensemen. It isn't mm-hmm. just one guy. If Carlson comes in, he's a figurehead. He's a name guy. He's going to score some points. He'll give you offensive production. That's not what you need, really. I mean, it's nice to have. It might overcome more flaws. But what you really need are two or three real good defensive defensemen. That's what mm-hmm. you need. They're hard to find, man.
Oh, yeah.
One is hard to find, much less two or three. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll talk about the future when it comes down. We'll see whether they can climb out of this hole.
I think also, Bob, that the way, and I agree with you on the one point, but also the way they've played positionally in this series, they have let the Bruins guys stand in front of the net. And, you know, you can't kill guys like you used to, but you can position yourselves better. Too often they've been caught behind a Boston player, easy tip-in, things like that. I think some of the correctable errors are simply where they're playing guys in front of the net. Yeah. And I'm curious to see if that'll be better tonight.
You mentioned Vegas with a 3-0 lead in that series. How surprised are you at that? I mean, the LA Kings are not what they once were, but we still do have sort of an amount of respect for a team that has won a couple of Stanley Cups this decade.
Oh, I'm surprised. I mean, Vegas is good. We all know they're good. But 3-0, not a chance did I predict that was going to happen. I mean, I'm trying to decide, like, if Vegas wins the Stanley Cup in their expansion year, is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, hard to go up from there, isn't it?
What does it say to, like, you know, I was having a conversation with someone this morning, guys. Like, what does it say that this has happened? Like, does the whole sport have to change the way it evaluates players? Will other teams change the way they construct their roster? Will teams start to say, we don't need the highly paid guy, we can go get someone else? Or a bunch of players who are fast and unselfish? Like, that's one thing that a couple teams are starting to talk about. What do we learn? What is the lesson that Vegas teaches us about building a team?
But what? See, well, I don't know what that would be, though, Elliot. You know, it's like you tell me what the blueprint is. Then, you know, draw it up for me and say that if you do this, you can take a bunch of guys who are cast offs from other teams and be great during the regular season and succeed in the playoffs. That's a hell of a blueprint if you can come up with it.
You know, I think, you know what I think? You're right. Like, Steven, and also they had no cap issues, no anchor contracts. Like, they had a fresh coat to paint with, and that's different. But I think the number one thing that this is going to do is it's going to force teams to evaluate how they decide. Because they said the one thing that Vegas did well is they saw a whole bunch of guys who they thought were ready for bigger roles that we didn't see. And they're asking themselves, what did Vegas do to identify those players than we did? And that is a question that's being asked quite a bit.
I don't think there's an answer to any of this.
I think it's what, just an act of God kind of thing?
It is, you know. I'll tell you what it is.
I think there's an aspect of that. I agree with you.
They got a good goaltender.
Yeah.
They got a real good goaltender who's won a couple of Stanley Cups or three Stanley Cups and doesn't have a whole lot of real bad games. And instills confidence in the guys. They got a coach who was, you know, because of the nature of the way the team was put together, made it real simple. We're going to roll four lines. Why? Because we think four lines are better than three lines? No, because our fourth line doesn't look to be much worse than our first line, so we might as well play all four.
But logically,
and he said, here is how you play. Real simple checkers, not chess.
But that should have worn off in a month, though, right? Like, and the goalie would be a hero, and you would lose nobly eventually.
But
and that,
I watched
and that would
this
be
team,
it.
Brunt, and they play. They don't make huge mistakes.
Nope, they don't.
They're not exciting. They're not dynamic. They're not going to come at you in waves offensively. They don't do anything really extraordinary. They just do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you convey that message. And even then, Elliot, if you took that exact speech, if you buy into that's what Vegas is, and you took it to Buffalo and took the same group of guys they have in Buffalo and gave them that speech, do you think they'd be the Vegas Golden Knights? No. It's magic. You know, it happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of it.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. And I do think the one thing you didn't mention is, and I do think this played a big role there, is all those guys were rejected, right? Like, you're rejects. And that was weaponized internally, too, and it worked very well for those players. But I think you have to ask yourself in some cases, you look at William Karlsson, was a guy who was basically traded by two teams and turned into a 40-goal scorer.
No, I know.
Like, you have to be asking, what did we miss?
Yeah.
Well,
But usually guys who are rejected, I understand the motivation, but usually guys are rejected because they're not good enough. Right? There's lots of guys.
Usually.
Yeah, you could put together lots of teams full of guys who have been rejected. That's the world's full of them.
Well, and we've seen all kinds of expansion teams, and perhaps, you know, Gary Bettman likes to say it's because I created a system that allowed them to be.
Well, maybe it was.
Good. Yeah. Well, we've seen lots of expansion teams in lots of sports, and you know what? There's a commonality in there. They all stink.
Yes.
This team doesn't stink, and it isn't just a mediocre team. It's a good team.
Really good.
It's a really good team, and... You know, you can't sit here and say there's no chance they're going to win the Stanley Cup. We don't think so.
No, I wouldn't say that.
But you can't say that. Mm-hmm. And I don't. I think if you can look till you drive yourself crazy, and you're not going to find exactly what it is. What is that potion that they gave them that makes them this good? With a coach who just got fired in Florida, with a general manager who'd been out of hockey for a year or two, you know, all those things in a market that knows nothing about hockey, and people like to point to the tragedy of the shooting, 2 weeks or a week before the season started. Did that have a role? Mm-hmm. It probably did. Mm-hmm. It certainly had a role on the city and the fans in the arena. Did it have a role on this transplanted group of people? Probably. But they haven't maintained that over seven months.
See, all of that should have worn off, right?
It has.
Yeah.
It has. There's something else here. And maybe it's nothing more than a simple phrase that I use a lot, and that is success breeds success. Winning begets winning. And
yeah,
they're succeeding.
All between the ears.
Yeah, you got to go. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Minnesota.
No, I got a couple minutes.
Bounce back win, and it was a dominant win, especially a dominant second period. And they beat Winnipeg 6-2. Are they back in it, or is this about what you expected? Because Minnesota's been very good at home this year.
Well, no, like I said to someone today from Winnipeg, you don't paint 16 Picassos in the playoffs. There's going to be some stinkers. It's a wake up. I still think Winnipeg's the better team.
I agree.
I think the most interesting thing today, though, Bob, is that they didn't give an injury update on Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
And I asked somebody, what does that mean? And they said what it means is they're hoping it's a lot better than they thought last night. Because if the guy was out for the year, you'd come right out and say he's out for the year. Last year, Ryan Johansson, Nashville, suffered that big injury. They came right out and said he's out for the year. That means to me that they are still hopeful that Tyler Myers is going to be a player.
But boy, because he's been great and
really good.
Yeah, and without him, Elliot, does that? You know, just in terms of handicapping, never mind handicapping the rest of the playoffs, but handicapping this series, that losing him is significant. It's going to be this. You know, this is not going to be. It's going to be a tough series to win. I think they're still going to win the series, but you know, it is not going to be easy. And it's going to be a lot harder without him.
Right. Well, I mean, the one area, Stephen, they can afford the injuries on the right side of their D because they still got Buffalo and they got Truba. But like you know, Buffalo was a menace again in the first period last night, and then he got really quiet. So I'm betting that he's going to be a much more engaged player in game four. And the other thing is, you look at the guys who really were big stars for Minnesota last night. There was Foligno, there was Greenway, there was Seeler, the young D. Okay, now you got to do it again. Like one thing we've learned about Winnipeg is their depth guys, they are consistent. They're good almost every night. Minnesota's depth guys were really good last night. Can they be good again? That's the question. Do they have the consistency?
Elliot, we'll let you go. We thank you for your time as always. We won't bug you too much during the playoffs because you work every day, but we'll bug you again.
You never bug me, Bob. You know that.
Thank you, Elliot. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet Hockey Net in Canada, 31 Thoughts.